Okay, so I'm talking with Beth Novak, our director of the White House Open Government Initiative and U.S. Deputy CTO. And one of the focus areas for the government over the past year has been the Open Government Initiative, which then turned into the Open Government Directive. This April, agencies delivered open government plans. One of the elements of the Open Government Initiative that has received a great deal of attention is transparency, but two other elements are participation in terms of the ability of citizens to be part of their government decision-making, and collaboration. Can you tell me a bit more about what's happening, what will happen in the year ahead, as it's a thornier issue to address the participation part of OGI than perhaps transparency?
Sure. I think, I don't know if thornier is the right word, but it's potentially a more difficult issue to get right because we have so little experience on either side of the aisle with doing citizen engagement. In other words, government institutions haven't typically been in the business of involving citizens so directly in the way that we make decisions of getting, of using new technology to crowdsource and get expertise and information in to inform decision-making. We haven't been able to do so because we haven't, frankly, had the technology by which to do so before. So there hasn't been a lot of institutional experience with citizen engagement in the way that might now become possible in a Web 2.0 environment. But there also hasn't been as much experience in civil society either. Again, for the same sort of reasons, both because there hasn't been an institutional demand, and therefore that hasn't been met with a supply, and there hasn't been the tool that would enable the new kinds of participation that we could see happening over the coming years, and that the agencies are hoping to make happen through their open government plan. So I think, in part, it's just an area in which we've lacked experience, and therefore don't necessarily know as well the way forward how to engineer the social practices of effective citizen engagement. Let me be clear that, you know, since 1946, for example, under the Administrative Procedure Act, agencies have taken comment on drafts of rules. So we've long had a well-institutionalized process in the executive branch of getting citizen participation into the way that we, the primary way we make decisions, which is through rulemaking. But again, it's the new ways that we might capture information earlier in the process, getting input on difficult scientific and technical questions before we come up with drafts of rulemakings that are now sort of possible in light of the process that new technology might enable. But again, doing this in manageable ways is really sort of the nub of the nub of the issue. If that's where it's quote unquote thorny, is really learning how we can get in citizen participation in where we can get relevant and meaningful information that's going to help inform a decision, but also manageable information that we can actually read and take account of. And that's where a lot of the, I think, experiments that we're going to see over the next year and two, whether it's on the part of government or from IT vendors or from civil society groups, is really going to start taking place, is trying to meet the demand that we now have for citizen engagement with the supply of tools and processes to make it possible.
Oh, thank you for that. I know that there, as we talk right now, there's an immense challenge that the EPA and Coast Guard and many other agencies at state and federal level have in the Gulf in containing the oil spill there. One of the flagship parts of the Environmental Protection Agency's open government plan is citizen participation, and that includes everything from urban waters, something that's important to Boston as we speak right now because of a leak there, or emergency response in this context or in disaster relief elsewhere. What potential do you see for citizens to participate in the way that government reacts and responds to crises like these or similar?
Absolutely. Well, if you look at something like the development of a movement around what's sometimes called crisis commons, that's grown out of essentially the crisis camps that have taken place that have gotten people engaged in making software and technical tools that are for use by people in disaster relief and recovery that's now grown into this movement called Crisis Commons. There are a movement like that emerging on the side of civil society Those folks are talking, for example, with the Department of Homeland Security's Virtual USA project, which is designed to be a data sharing initiative for first responders that's now intimately involved with the process of trying to share disaster relief and recovery data and use in the tools that are being developed by people on the ground, whether governmental or non-governmental, again, collaborating on trying to develop solutions for use in a disaster like the one that we see unfolding this past week in the Gulf. There are other, again, our office is actually looking right now at this question of how we can use new technologies and trying to get at some of the relief and recovery efforts that are taking advantage of these, WIKIs, for example, and the use of citizen collaboration and participation in trying to, again, crowdsource the most useful information, but also solutions to this tremendous problem that we're facing. So, again, it's whether it's opportunities like this where we're experiencing a crisis or whether it's longer-term opportunities for tapping good ideas and solutions for how to solve problems. Let me give you, you know, an example. Just this Friday, the White House sponsored a conference on policy innovation. In other words, how to use new techniques like the use of prizes and the use of open grant-making techniques and other novel mechanisms for getting at good ideas and solutions to policy problems faster and more cheaply and more quickly than we've been able to do in traditional ways before. And so that conference spent a full day with private and sector, public sector and private sector folks collaborating on looking at solutions like these surprises, which, to quote one of the speakers from the conference, talked about how you can bring 10 to 40 times the value of innovation to solving a problem when you use a prize than if you use a traditional grant technique. In other words, whatever the prize is, if you're giving out a $1,000 prize, you can get $10,000 to $40,000 worth of innovation that can actually be contributed and created in pursuit of a solution to the problem, so that there are techniques that we can employ to take advantage of collaboration in order to get people now working together in new ways to solve problems, whether it's everything from how do I, you know, create a car that can run 100 miles an hour on less gas than ever before, or how to put a new kind of lunar lander on the moon, or how to solve a tremendous scientific or medical challenge that we might be facing. So it's the kinds of issues that we are starting to look at, and that all agencies, thanks to the Open Government Directive and the new guidance on the use of prizes, are able to begin to deploy some of these new techniques that will help to drive, hopefully, new kinds of collaboration.
Okay, and I know people listening can find more information at whitehouse.gov/open or at the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy, or OSTP, where you work, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, thank you. So this issue of participation and collaboration, you know, it's not just a matter of posting machine-readable data or, you know, high-value data sets or a live-streaming federal workshops or council meetings. As important as those steps are, what are other areas where collaboration is being used to allow government to work better within itself and also within the citizens that it serves? And what tools are enabling that?
So the collaboration piece is extremely important to this idea of creating a more open and innovative government. And it's, as you've alluded to, it's three kinds of collaboration. It's collaboration across and within a government department. So it's the fact, for example, that in formulating its open government plan, the Department of Transportation tapped 200 people across a very large organization in developing a plan for what how the agency would, again, bring innovation to the way that it works, not trying to do it all from one central office. It's the fact that the Army is writing a wikified Army field guide so that warfighters across the military are now being invited. People with the first-hand information who are actually in the field are being invited to actually help in drafting that manual procedure rather than doing it out of one central office in Washington. It's the fact that the Veterans Benefit Administration, in trying to think about how do we bring down the backlog of veterans benefits claims, turns to 19,000 employees across 57 regional offices for coming up with good ideas and competing in what's essentially a business plan competition to come up with the best solutions for how to bring down the backlog. but it's also the collaboration across levels of government. So it's when the mayor of San Francisco, Gavin Newsom, gets together with the federal CIO, Vivek Kundra, and announces the Open 311 initiative, in which Tim O'Reilly, in fact, participated, of O'Reilly Radar, was to get together and celebrate the way that we can work together across levels of government to share and trade code and know-how and ideas for how to build the best Open 311 or citizen service hotline system. And that's, I think, just the beginning of many of the federal, state, local collaborations. Take, for example, Virtual USA, the Department of Homeland Security's project now that's being piloted across, I believe it's 13 and soon going to be 21 states, to enable first responders to actually share and trade information in a crisis. In other words, we want fire and police and water all talking to one another and sharing data and information, whether they sit in a state office, a local office, whether they sit in Louisiana or Alabama. We want to make sure that people are able to talk to each other because natural disasters don't respect borders. And then I think it's also the kind of collaboration that we're able to make happen that doesn't necessarily involve government directly, where government is helping to articulate the challenge and the problem and act as a convener that helps people in the private sector to get together to solve a problem. So, for example, when the president launched the Educate to Innovate initiative back in November, he called upon the private sector to do what it could in pursuit of the goals of improving science, technology, engineering, and math education in this country. And hence was born the National Lab Day initiative. It's not a governmental program. It's a private sector program being driven by foundations and companies who are volunteering their members and their resources and their employees to get together and go into America's schools and do hands-on science and tech learning with today's school children in pursuit of what is a presidential goal, what is a national goal, what's an important social objective, which is to improve science, technology, engineering, and math education. So again, government doesn't always have to be at the center of solving the problem. It can help, however, to be a convener and an inspirer, if you will, to get folks in the public sector collaborating with one another to solve a problem. I'll give you one last example of this because I want people to also know about it. National Telecommunications and Information Agency, NTIA, that helped to give out the broadband grants together with the Department of Agriculture, has set up a site called broadbandmatch.gov. And Broadband Match is what it sounds like. It's a place where grantees who are applying for broadband funding can find one another and potentially apply together for grants, thereby potentially strengthening their grant applications, writing a better application, and make themselves, we hope, more eligible for receiving the funds and better serving people with the services that they'll provide. So again, it's not government solving the problem, but it's helping to convene people in the private sector who can then work together to solve the problem.
Well, thank you very much for your time and your answers on those counts. And you can look for the audio to be posted on radar.oreilly.com when I do the editing, and I look forward to talking with you more about open government in the months to come.
Good. I look forward to it.